Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the SexRx Show with Michaela, a show bringing you the prescription for a healthy and fun sex life brought to you on Blog Talk Radio and US Weed Channel Cannabis Radio. So tonight's show is about senior sex with Joan Price. Sex in our later years is not only possible, but totally enjoyable. Or so they say. Okay, I'm teasing, as I'm obviously not I can't talk right now, not there yet. So what do I know? I don't, except for the jokes that some of us might make regarding senior sexuality or the depression some express from growing older. However, that just isn't the case, or at least it doesn't have to be. Tonight, I'm bringing on a guest who does know what she's talking about and is happy to open up all of our minds. Joan Price is an advocate for ageless sexuality. She is also the author of several books, including the new one coming out that's already out now, Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50, How to Maintain or Regain a Spicy, Satisfying Sex Life, and also the award-winning self-help book, Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex, and she also has the sexy memoir out, Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60. At age 73, Joan continues to talk out loud about senior sex, whether partnered or solo, in speeches, workshops, and on her zesty blog about sex and aging. She's been offering senior sex news, views, and sexy toy reviews for 12 years now. And so tonight, she's going to be joining us to discuss some of the top concerns when it comes to senior sex and tips on how to have a satisfying sex life after 50 and beyond. So welcome, Ms. Joan. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, great to be with you, Michaela.
Thank you. Well, you've definitely, you know, have some knowledge under your belt, and that's why I definitely was so excited to have you on to talk to the listeners tonight. So before we get going, though, I just wanted to start off by asking you, how did you get into being an advocate for ageless sexuality, and how do you define that term?
Well, first let me define it. An advocate for ageless sexuality, you know, you're the first person who's actually asked me to define it, so thank you. I'll need to do that.
Welcome.
What I see is that so often our society thinks that older people give up on their sex lives, or they're really pathetic if they still want to be sexual. And as an advocate for ageless sexuality, I believe that throughout our lifespan, we have the potential for satisfying, rich, sizzling sex. There is no expiration date on that, and we need to talk out loud, and that's part of the advocacy part. We need to talk out loud when we hear our age group being put down or made fun of, and we just need to make this a normal part of growing older instead of being something that people go, oh, tee-hee, isn't that cute, or think, ew, wrinkly sex, that's really disgusting.
I agree, Ms. Joan, because, you know, obviously, you know, I'm going to be getting older. We're all getting older one day. And if we have the privilege to get older, you know, we shouldn't have to think of that as a negative thing. And so many people do. And regardless whether it's whatever age group nowadays, I mean, sex is just a topic that most people do not want to talk about. So I think it's highly important what you're doing for the world.
I love talking about it. I could talk about it all day. Oh, that's right. I do.
Right. Right on. Well, you have blogs and tons of things that, I mean, people can go back to the blog or get your books on, and obviously tonight's show is not even enough to cover the depth. So I just want to highlight some of the, you know, most important things that came in my mind, and then, you know, there
sure.
can always go and find, you know, the rest what you've got there. But here's a big thing that was curious to me was if you could answer possibly a little bit the question of how are men's and women's needs different as they get older? When they get older, I guess.
Different from each other or different from being younger?
See, and you know what? That's a good – I was talking about from each other, but I think that other question that you just said is probably a good one to know too, because obviously it probably is mate, or I don't know, maybe it is different when we're younger and then our later.
Well, here's the thing. As we age, men and women get more and more alike in their sexual needs and desires, in that when we're young – there's often a conflict, a contrast, where young men, you know, want to hurry up and get to the main event and have their orgasms, and women say, slow down, take it easy, I need more than that, I need some warm-up, I need foreplay. And now, when we get older, men as well as women need slow arousal. They need more stimulation. They don't just automatically have erections when someone interesting walks by the way they used to. Now we both need a lot more attention in order to become aroused and to reach orgasms. So I think that's really wonderful that we are so much alike as we get older. Now, of course, there are differences in how these changes manifest themselves for women. Well, for both of us, for all genders, and I don't mean to be so binary in men or women. Of course, there are more genders than that. But as we get older, the hormones recede and the blood flow gets slower. And those two things are what impact sex so much, that men have trouble with erections and sometimes with ejaculation. And women have trouble with vaginal dryness and sometimes pain with intercourse. But you know what? The solution for all of this is to take more time, one, and two, not to see intercourse as the only goal, or even the main goal, or even a goal at all. Our bodies are rich with sensation. Our largest sex organ is our skin. Our most potent sex organ is our brain. So we can use the brain and the skin and have really delicious sensual experiences together.
That is a word that just was going
to
come into my head.
I sound good.
Well, I so agree about the whole sensual part. That's exactly what it sounded like when you said, like, you know, the touching of the skin. And I almost think, even though you're saying that is what's going on as we get older, I'm almost thinking we need to bring that, you know, even early on, like, it, you know, because you don't get that, it seems, a lot when you're in the younger years. It's like, it depends, you know, how it can be.
Oh, you are so right. You're absolutely so. I am doing hallelujah here for you, Michaela. Because if we grew up knowing that intercourse is just one part of the great sexual buffet, if we grew up knowing that how to make love to someone's skin instead of just genitals, can you imagine what that would be like? How we would get along better? My goodness, I think we could have world peace if we did that. I really do.
Aw, you know, I think I heard this on one of my other sex shows. That's like the resounding message, you know, that through, like, one of the ways through, you know, world love and peace is through our sexuality and that spiritual part of us. But, you know, two other random questions just kind of popped off and just you saying this stuff. And I just wanted to ask one of them, gosh, if I'm not going to lose it, was the fact that about intimacy in general as we age. Like, do you think that is another key component in senior sexuality, is that the intimacy is more great, is not just about sex?
Well, yeah, I do think that. And that's one thing that I wrote about in my first book, Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60. Because I started writing about senior sex, and I never really got to answering your question because I went off on another part of it, was that I fell in love when I was 57 with a man who was 64. Neither of us had been in a relationship for quite a long time, and we were just stunned by how glorious our sex life was together. And it was not glorious because it brought back young sex. It wasn't young sex. It was old sex, and yet so satisfying. And one of the reasons is what you were alluding to, that when we get to this age, we have such a great capacity for intimacy, for love, for understanding a partner, for expressing ourselves, communicating, listening. We've often made our relationship mistakes already. We can start with a clean slate. We can really embrace what our sexuality means, what intimacy means, because we don't have to do it the old way. We can reinvent all this. And you see, without the hormones propelling us to have sex, because those hormones are often pretty quiet now, we're having sex for other reasons. And one of those reasons is intimacy. And one of those reasons is pleasure. And we're not bound to this, we don't have the urge to procreate anymore. We don't have the urge to as many young men do, is to spread their seed as wide as possible and as often as possible. We don't have to do that anymore. And it is freeing. People are afraid of it. When they're young, they think, oh, no, I'll lose this thing I have right now. It isn't that you'll lose anything. It's that you will expand and have more instead of less.
I really love that. That is such a, it makes me look forward to the future, you know, to be able to do that. It sounds like a lot more acceptance, you know, as you get older with yourselves and with each other. And I think that's beautiful. Okay, so here's that other random question that I had. It came to my head to think, do you, in your research or any of the people that you work with senior sex, do you ever hear that, do more people want to go for like the younger crowd, like even your older, because it somehow makes you feel more youthful? Do you hear that, like a lot of older men wanting to seek out younger partners or vice versa, just to somehow feel like they're going to regain vitality? Or do you find the opposite, that you guys are being revitalized in other ways?
Well, here's the thing. What I call the ick factor is our society's view that older people are not sexual and are not desirable if they are sexual. So what we see happening is that even my generation, and I'm 73, as you said, we have to some extent really swallowed the bait there. We think that's true. We think that we are only turned on or attracted by people who are younger than we are because obviously they're more desirable. And I think if we could get past, I mean, that's fine. We want what we want, you know. So in one way, if we're attracted to someone younger and that's what turns us on, we look to someone our own age and don't feel anything, well, okay, fine, go with what works. But sometimes it's in our minds. Sometimes it's, well, if I were with someone my age, that would be admitting that I'm my age. And obviously, mm-hmm. I'm not desirable, so neither would my mate be desirable. And that's very sad. I think so much of what happens to us is in our minds, which, of course, is the major sex organ, is the brain. And what we bring with us is everything we've been taught ever, everything from our upbringing, where we were taught that sex was wrong, and that does affect a lot of people still. Everything we were taught about in the media about what's attractive, what we should be attracted to, with very rare exceptions. We don't see any women over 70 or even over 50 right. In most cases. There are a few. I can count them on one hand and probably have a finger or two left over. But if instead of that, we could just look around us, look at our own generation, and say, wow, that person is really attractive because. You'll come from it that way, not, oh, that person's breasts are sagging, or that those wrinkles really don't attract me, or, you know, when all these things we tell each other, if we can just look into the other person's eyes and say, wow, I bet you've got some good stories to tell. I bet you've got some wisdom. Let's get to know each other.
Agreed, Ms. Joan. Okay, so here's another big topic that's on the list. What are some of the top concerns then that with senior sexuality that may need help addressing? Because, you know, honestly, when I was promoting this, you know, a lot of my network, I have a mixture of people, but, you know, some people are already over their 50s. But I got a comment back of, I already know what I'm doing. Why would I need to hear a show like this? And, you know, I don't really know how to respond in the sense of, like, I mean, I'm not saying that nobody doesn't know how to do what they need to do, but obviously, you know, there's a topic that needs to be discussed. So, I mean, for you,
so
why did you also
to
even feel like you needed to bring
about
this?
It, right?
Yeah, right.
So the thing is that, and I hear that too. I hear people say, for example, I recommend solo sex as often as I can. I recommend that. And there are many reasons I recommend it, which we can go into or not, depending on your time here. But I will sometimes hear from people, come on, you're trying to teach me to masturbate if I haven't learned that by now. The thing is, though, we have changed. Our bodies are changing. Our brains are changing. Our sentiments are changing. Our relationships are not stagnant either. Things change, and we don't know what to do with those changes. And many people give up on sex because they don't know what to do about those changes. Nobody taught them anything. So
right.
I'm trying to go here in the rah-rah in the wilderness here saying, educate yourself. The information is available now. It wasn't always. It wasn't even 10 years ago, but it is now. And you, if you educate yourself and have a spirit of adventure and a sense of creativity and of course, a sense of humor, because we've got to laugh at sex at this age. We've just have to.
Yes.
That we can reclaim the delicious excitement and satisfaction of sex at our age. And will it look the same as young sex? It will not. And that's okay. Let's accept that. Because as you said earlier, who wants to die young? You know, aging is just not dying young. So let's all age. But let's take this with
right.
us.
I think there's a beauty in every stage of our life. And, you know, I think that's something, like you said, that we miss, or that media and society, you know, perpetuates this whole fake, you know, imagery. And it doesn't have to be
yeah.
that way. So you
no.
kind of started to touch on the whole masturbation part. So are you saying that as we get older, then masturbation and how we explore our bodies are different, or how we would feel down there?
The issue is that because of the aging process, and sometimes because of medical conditions and medications and all these other reasons that things change, because they do change, what stimulated us before might not work anymore. What brought us to orgasm before might not work the same as it did. Something that we found immensely pleasurable in the past might do nothing for us or even annoy us. Now, I've heard stories like that. So we need to constantly rediscover what turns us on now. It just might be a totally different kind of touch, or a place we want to be touched, or a pace of touch. It might be we need some extra stimulation, and maybe we want to get into something kinkier than we ever thought we'd want, or maybe we want it even gentler than we ever thought we'd want it. So how are we going to find that out? We can't expect a partner to read our minds, especially when our minds might be empty of what to do. So pleasuring ourselves is a way to discover what works for us now. And it's a joyful process of discovering. I mean, for heaven's sakes, it leads to orgasm. Isn't that fun? And then the other reason that I promote solo sex so heavily is that many of us are not partnered. We lose partners. Our partners die, or they become incapacitated, or they dump us, or we dump them. There are so many reasons that we do not have a sexual partner at this time. We may not have a sexual partner at this time. So does that mean we just stop having sex because it's over, or does that mean we have to quickly find another partner when we're still grieving someone? No. It just means when we're ready, let's rediscover our own capacity for sexual pleasure on our own with a well-chosen sex toy and our own hands.
Oh, my goodness, Miss Joan, I have to go there. Because you just said sex toy, and I know that you do, like, sexy reviews for different toys. So when you do these reviews, I'm guessing that you're doing these reviews for, you know, older people. So is there
exactly.
any path that you could list right now, like a couple of them that you would say are awesome for, you know, for seniors to check out?
Well, I can, but the thing is, we're not all the same. So what's awesome for me might not be awesome for you. But here's what I do on my blog, which is nakedatourage.com. I review sex toys from a senior perspective. So as you said, I review them from this vantage point of being a senior, of, for example, needing extra stimulation. So we don't want something that's mild. That just tickles and doesn't do it for us. and we may want, and we want something that's ergonomic to hold, because if it takes us a while, our arthritic wrist might not be able to handle that. We want sex toys that are made of body-safe materials. Everybody wants that, but not all sex toys are, and it's especially important at my age, because since our vaginal tissues are thinner, it's very easy for some, if a toy is made of questionable materials or chemicals that we do not want to introduce into our body, it's very easy for that to get into the bloodstream of an older woman than it is with a thicker vaginal tissues of a younger woman. There's so many things to balance there, and there are other things too that many of us do not like the girthy toys. If we enjoy penetration, and some do, some don't, we may want a slimmer toy than we did in our youth. Just because it's a fatter toy, a girthier toy, doesn't feel so good. So when I review sex toys, I look at all of those things. And I'll say in the review what I liked about it, what pros and cons there are. And sometimes a toy doesn't really do it for me, but I know it's high quality. And so I might say, you know, this just doesn't work for me because, however, your mileage may vary. And if you like,
right,
for example, this, and this, give this one a try because it's a good product. I got to tease.
I'm stoned. So how long do you normally test out a product before you say, okay, I've gave you this enough to give us feedback? 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes?
Whatever it takes to reach my desired goal.
Awesome.
And if it doesn't reach my desired goal, if it doesn't reach my desired goal in, let's say, 20 minutes, yeah, I think I'd give it only, if it doesn't work for me, 20 minutes, and then I'll reach for something that does.
Right on. I just had to ask. This is so fun.
Yeah,
I'm the only time I get to talk like this.
It's just
right?
The
well,
two
my
of
grandmother,
us talking,
I have
right?
to say, you know, yes, unfortunately, I can't say that my grandmother has the same sex life as maybe you or some of the other ones that really enjoy, but I at least can be frank and open, so that's kind of nice to be able to share this with older ladies to learn back from them and to see how lively and happy you guys can be. You know, okay, here's another random thing that, you know, I've heard about, and I wonder if this is true or if you've heard this is becoming more of a trend within the senior population. Because I know, like, for instance, in Florida, they have, like, a certain, I don't know if it's a city or select whatever, but there's tons of seniors in this community. And, you know, I guess a lot of STDs are running rampant. Are you hearing about that more and more now?
Oh, goodness. I write about that all the time. I have full chapters in all of my books about that. Yeah. Yes, the STDs are running rampant among my age group and older. The reason is we don't think we need to use condoms. We do. So I have a very serious condom conversation I have with people, and you can find that the Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50, that's my most recent book, has the most thorough information about that and about how to have what I call the condom conversation. How to talk to a potential partner before you're naked and under the covers. Before that, prepare.
Right.
You've got to prepare like a good Girl Scout or Boy Scout. But it's true.
I think that's something
there are many
forget.
STDs that are in our community, and because we think, well, I can't get pregnant anymore, so I don't need to use protection. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And if the person you're about to go to bed with is willing to go to bed with you without using protection, chances are that person was willing to do that with the person before you, and that person's partner was willing to do it with who knows how many people before that, and so
right.
on. And you can see that you're going to bed, you're having unprotected sex with dozens of people you've never met. Is that what you want?
and that's something we got to think about. I think, you can easily forget that and think that's only left to the younger generation. But yes, it goes across the board. You stick it in somewhere. You got to be careful. Okay, so here's another thing. This is all about a show also about being healthy and fun sex life. So why do you feel it's super important to have a healthy, fun sex life in our later years? Or what have you noticed with people that are having thriving relationships like that for them?
I have in The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50 a list of 33 reasons why sex is good for you. And these are proven health reasons. I'll read you a couple. I won't go through all 33 because we don't want to put anyone to sleep. But, for example, it reduces stress. So what I mean by sex, let me clarify that. Any sexual activity that arouses you and leads you to orgasm. It doesn't have to be with a partner. It can be done any old way. It can be you yourself. So solo sex is real sex when I say that. So 33 reasons why sex is good for you, just a sampling of those. Reduces stress, enhances mood, strengthens the immune system, helps fight infection and disease, keeps the sex organs healthy and receptive, helps with sleep, aids in healing wounds, helps prevent vaginal atrophy, relieves headaches and other body aches, relieves depression, reduces risk of heart disease, reduces risk of prostate cancer, relieves chronic pain. I think I'll stop now, but can you imagine? Why would you decide not to do something that feels really good, is perfectly legal, has no bad side effects that I've been able to figure out, and I've been in this field for 12 years, and just feels
amazing.
So darn good.
Agreed. I love it. I mean, that's just at the tip of the iceberg right there. Okay, you mentioned something, vaginal atrophy. I mean, it sounds like, a muscle not being used enough, and it just goes to waste. Can you clarify to people that don't know what that means, because I don't all the way?
That's right, and you've said it well. There's a little more to that if unused, you're right, the pelvic floor muscles cease to function as strongly as they could. Now, that can lead to incontinence later, and now I usually get audience's attention when I'm talking incontinence. So if if frequent orgasms are good for preventing incontinence, now we've got a good reason to have sex. But vaginal atrophy is more than that, too. The vagina can feel like it's getting smaller and tighter because the vaginal tissues are thinner and less robust. There's less blood flow. And having frequent sex can help all of that. And there are other things that are helpful, too. I mean, a good diet, plenty of exercise, is good for the whole body, including for the genitals. It also will also promote blood flow, which helps to keep the genitals in shape. I'm going in a lot of directions now. You'll have to reel me in. But vaginal atrophy, what happens then once this starts to occur is that intercourse is painful or penetration is painful. And there are many reasons that penetration might be painful. So this isn't the only one. It's a whole other topic that I've written a chapter on and other people have written whole books on. But the gist of it is this. Don't give up if there's a problem. Get the problem diagnosed by a specialist who knows what they're doing and then do what needs to be done and everything can be better again. I'm not saying that every problem can be solved, but almost every problem will have some solution. And people often don't go to their doctors. They think, well, I'm embarrassed, or my doctor doesn't know anyway, or my doctor is the age of my grandchild, and there's no way we're talking about sex. But it's really important, and I have in The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50, I have a whole chapter on how to talk to your doctor, and also why your sexual responses might be limited by medications you're on and what to do about that, or in medical conditions. All of this, all these things that happen to us as we get older everything affects sex, and sex affects everything. It's complicated.
I'm so glad you wrote these books, Miss Joan.
Thank
Seriously.
You.
you know, I know I'm not there yet, but I think I might have to have it pre-order and just have it with me so I can just peruse ahead of time and be ready. You know, here's an – okay, we got a little bit more time, but I just – one
can
thing that was curious
something
to
when
me –
because you said that. Could I ask add
Go
something
ahead.
There? I was,
yes.
I was working on a video, and the videographer's assistant was 19 years old. And he's listening to me talk about senior sex. And at the end I said, so did you learn anything? And he said, yeah, I'm going to read your book now so that when I get to be your age, I won't need it. And I said, that was really
That's awesome.
Seriously.
Well, I'm definitely going to continue to be promoting your site and your books and anything new that's coming up, because I do think this is not just, you know, what you're bringing out is not just for seniors. It is for the younger age groups, because when you have – being proactive is better than being reactive is what I think. So
that's
to have
right.
this knowledge is, it's yeah, totally a tool. I wanted to get – this is a question that wasn't on – that I had on plan, but I was thinking about erectile dysfunction and men's issues. And do you really find that it's an issue for older women with their men? Like, is that a big deal to older
yes.
women? That if,
oh, yeah.
Or do you guys find other ways to still enjoy pleasure from your man, and that's not such a big deal?
Well, the problem is that they don't know how to shift the focus from what used to be, quote, real sex, unquote, to this new
okay.
way of looking at sex, where it doesn't have to be just penetration, just intercourse. The men are often really upset about this, and they don't want to talk to a doctor. I mean, gee, this is they've come of age thinking I am my erection. How can I admit I'm having trouble with that? So it's
mm-hmm.
helpful if a loving partner says, let's find out why you're having erection problems. You see, erectile difficulties can be the first sign of heart disease or diabetes or a number of other diseases that first manifest themselves with a lack of blood flow, and then that shows up in the penis, you see, because that's what an erection is, engorgement of the penis with blood flow.
Right.
So when that stops working right, there might be a problem that really needs to be addressed. So it's very important to find out what's going on to get your mate to a doctor, and do not accept, well, what do you expect? You're old, which unfortunately some doctors say. You can always say, give me a referral to someone who cares.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, here's another thing, because one of your books is about maintaining or regaining a satisfying sex life. I know you can't go through all of them, but what are some of those tips that you have in there?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's some of – I mean, I have a few quick tips that are going to help you with your
okay.
sex life. But if it has gotten to the point where you have lost your sex life, and many people report that, you know, they say, well, I haven't had sex in 6 months or 6 years. There's more than just a quick tip that's going to help. And so it's really important to read that book all the way through and to find out what's going on and work with your health provider. There are some things I can tell you that are going to, I'll give you two tips that are going to immediately make sex better whatever your age. You ready for
Yay,
that?
Yay, okay, I'll take it.
Okay. Tip number one, exercise before sex. It's all about blood flow. You increase the blood flow to the muscles, you're increasing it to the genitals, making arousal and orgasm easier. So exercise before sex and eat afterwards, not before. Don't try to have sex after a meal because, again, the blood flow is going to the digestive system and not where you need it. And this, somehow young people can get away with this. I guess they've got so much blood flow that it doesn't matter as much. But when you get to be older, and I'm not saying you have to wait till 73 to make this change, but I'd say really all along, if you think of sex as happening before a meal instead of after, that's going to immediately enhance the potential of that sexual arousal.
Wow,
those
are some great tips. And honestly, yes, I love them. Honestly, I'd never heard about that, but I think it totally makes sense. One, at first I'm like, really? Exercise before sex? Sex is exercise. But then I'm thinking like, you know, runner's high, where they get that extra energy. So I can see how that could translate to having even better sex. And then I'm thinking, okay, you're right about the whole, when you eat, it kind of makes you sluggish. And so, yes,
okay.
I think that's totally something that most people might have not thought about. So it's great. Ms. Joan, you know, we're about to go, but I just wanted to give you the opportunity in case there's anything else that you want to share or promote.
Well, there is. And I added this to the show notes today, that I'm now putting out a newsletter, and I am giving webinars. So I am giving online classes in all of these subjects that we're touching on here. And the way to find out about it is to subscribe to my newsletter. And I put the URL for subscribing in the show notes. It's a funny URL. I can try to read it to you. But if people can just go to the show notes, I did it as a comment inviting people to subscribe to my newsletter. I can spell out what the URL is if you want, or just have them go there. What do you think?
You know, I think it would, if you can spell it out, that's fine. And then what I'll do is, in case I didn't see that I have it, because all I have on here is the website and the blog and like Facebook and Twitter.
It's
under
comments.
Go back after the show and re-edit.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, in the comments?
So it is,
okay, perfect.
It is http://cx2NAB. I know. It's easier just to click on it. So if people go to the show notes, you'll see that I've made a comment, and it says, for news, views, and events related to senior sex, dating, and relationships, I invite you to subscribe to my newsletter here. And it's a hyperlink.
I love that. And how long, since you're just starting out the webinars, how long do you plan on these typically running?
They're an hour and a half long each, and I have two scheduled in March. One is How the Heck Do I Date at This Age, which is my dating workshop. It's full of fun and very good tips. And the other one is Ask Me, I'll Tell You, Let's Talk About Sex and Aging. And this is going to cover all these kinds of questions like you're asking me, but many of them will be from the audience, from the people who register for the webinar. So in order to get that information, to get that information, if you just subscribe to my newsletter, and if for people who are driving and listening, or for some reason don't want to write it down or can't get to the computer, once you get to the computer, if you go to my website, joanprice.com, you'll see there is a link there for subscribing to the newsletter too. But do it fast, because the first workshops are in March. So I'm starting to register people for them now.
I love it, and what a great surprise, because I think that's even better to take people a group, but you know, actually hear what people, what's going on right now, like the voice of the people right now, and with, like I said, all your years of knowledge and experience, it's what a great way to go. So Ms. Joan, thank you so much for just taking time tonight.
So you'll even see my face talking.
Nice. Now, and one last question, I guess, with that for now. Will this webinar be something that is recorded, that those people that were signed up, that they can take and review again later after?
Yes. It will probably be a limited time that they can see them again, but that will be helpful because they don't have to be wildly taking notes. They can just listen and watch and absorb it and then view the recording. And take notes if they want. And a lot of what I'll be talking about is, of course, in my three books. So that's a good start, too.
I think that's great. And I, again, just want to acknowledge you taking the time to come on tonight. But more importantly, that you're putting this out there in the world to help so many people that need this. This is a true blessing in what you're giving back. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you to say.
Very welcome.
It
very
really
true.
Feels like a
so
mission.
You have a good night, Ms. Joan. listeners, thank you again so much for listening to Ms. Joan and me tonight talk. I'm sure that you got some good stuff here, but definitely go check out her website, get her books, or even do the webinars. And with that, be well. Enjoy the rest of your week. Big, big hugs.